Let's get back to Party Line. If there's something on your mind or you have a question for our guest, call us toll-free at 1-800-447-4463 or locally 659-3338. Now let's rejoin Party Line on WILO AM and FM.
Special thanks to our sponsors who make the program possible. They are Welty Custom Exteriors, Susan Casper, State Farm Insurance, Sparrows Florist and Greenhouse, Encompass Credit Union, Milner Healthcare, Ivy Tech Community College, Simple Time Antiques, and ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. We are your free local online newspaper. I'm Kevin Keith, and we have on the phone Margo Ledmark. Margo's going to talk to us today about what really happens when we die. Margo, first off, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on your show.
Very intriguing topic here. First off, give us a little background on yourself. Where'd you grow up at?
I grew up in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. My father, as you can tell by the title, was a funeral director, and we did not grow up in the funeral home, but we were certainly around it a lot. And then I went off to college, and afterward, in Wisconsin, and then afterward, I got a degree in journalism, and then I traveled the world teaching meditation and stress management, and now I'm in North Carolina selling real estate and writing a book.
Well, tell us, I was just amazed by this topic. What do you think really happens when we die?
Well, it's really an amazing topic, isn't it? Because who knows for sure, right? I mean, I said in my book, the only thing I know for sure is what I experience in these experiences. And what I pretty much know for sure is that we don't die. The soul does not die. And I know that because people came back to me afterward in different forms to tell me that they didn't die. And I think there's been enough enough experiences shared on the subject to realize that I think something happens. I don't think when the body dies that the soul dies. I don't think it's over.
I've heard a lot of people say they would agree with something like that, that the body does die, but the soul continues to live on. Or I've also heard the soul goes to heaven or hell or wherever you believe a soul could go.
But you contend
that the soul is still living and still, although we can't see it, it's still there with us for what, our loved ones or?
Yes, and it's at least been my experience, and I've had several experiences where people have come back in a dream to tell me that they haven't died. And in those particular dreams that the soul is really there because it's unmistakable. It's not like one of these illusory dreams where you have little sketches of things and you can't remember it as soon as you wake up. It's the dream where you actually get a visitation from this person. Like in my case, it was my brother, and it was definitely my brother just as in real life. It was just as in real life, but it happened to come in a dream. And he came many times to tell me he hadn't died. So what I did, I had to tell him that it's kind of a long story because it's in the book, but I basically had to tell him that he had died and asked, and then he never came to me in dreams again. He heard it. So after that, I had a friend of mine who she's trained in some type, it's like it's shamanic-like experiences or techniques. And I had her take me on this journey to find my brother, and I did. And again, it was just like in real life. It was him. And I had to lead him into the light, and I did. And then that was it. Then I never heard from him again. So it was a very interesting experience to me. Now I know for sure that something lives on because his body was long gone, but he came back in a dream and didn't know he had died. So I think sometimes souls maybe hang out in some, some people call it the astral level. I don't know for sure. I can't say for sure what that is. But until they go into the light, so to speak, and know that they've died, and I think most people probably do, but I think it happens more than we realize that people don't know that they've died. So they hang out trying to tell you that they're alive because they just don't know. They drop the body so easily and quickly that they just didn't realize they didn't have it anymore.
So if they think they haven't died, what are they doing? Sitting around eating their favorite candy bars and watching their favorite TV shows?
That's a really good question. I don't know exactly what they're doing, but I know that one thing they do, just because it was my experience and it was a friend of mine's experience, I know one thing they do is they come back to try to tell you. They come back in many different ways, perhaps, like my brother, in many different ways to try to tell me that he was still alive. So I don't know if they're eating candy bars, but I know that one of the things they're doing is trying to get in touch with you to let you know. In my brother's case, he also came to his best friend to tell him that he didn't die. So That's when we realized that he didn't know he was dead, is when it was maybe a week later or something like that, or a couple weeks. I'm losing track of the time now, but his friend called me and said, "I'm having the strangest dreams about Mike." I said, "Me too. What are your dreams?" And we compared notes, and we were both having the same type of dream where Mike was just sitting there real close to us, you know, trying to prove that he was right there with us. And when we both realized that, we both realized at the same moment that he didn't know he was dead. Very interesting experience.
Is that the primary way that these souls would contact you or your friend you were talking about, through a dream?
I think it's one of the ways. I know for sure it's one of the ways, because he and I both experienced that. Another friend of ours experienced that with their friend. And so I know for sure that that's one of the ways they come. I think, you know, other people talk about they wake up in the night and they see somebody standing at the end of their bed and it's their, you know, deceased father or something.
Right.
So I think they can come in different ways, but they're not standing there like a physical person, but you know it's the person. It looks like them. It's them. You know, it, on some level, they are really there and they have some type of form that you can see with the inner eye. You can see them very clearly. It's really interesting. And maybe that's what ghosts are. You know, maybe ghosts, I don't know. I'm not an expert on this. But maybe ghosts are people that never did get led into the light. You know, maybe if my brother never got led into the light and never did know he died, maybe he would just keep hanging out and people would see him as a ghost. Mm-hmm. I don't know for sure. But it's an interesting phenomena. I've had many experiences like that where I'm pretty convinced that the soul lives on.
I've heard that a lot as well in my adult life. So when your soul finally accepts they are dead, what do you think happens to them then? What is the, after they go into the quote-unquote light?
Yeah, this is just my opinion, but what I feel, and I felt this when I was young, it's been challenged a few times when people have died. You know, it challenges your beliefs because you don't know for sure we haven't died, right?
So, right.
But what I've come to conclude is I really believe that the soul moves on to, I think it rests for a while because I think it needs it after all this exertion on the earth. And then I think it moves on to another lifetime. Unless, and I'm not sure, but unless it's so highly evolved, and I think that's the purpose of life is just to keep growing until we can get into this very, very high, pure state of consciousness. But I think at that point, maybe we don't come back. Maybe there's a time when we just get to live in, quote, heaven, in some heavenly sphere where life is really good all the time. And maybe those people come back. You know, I've thought many times about this, that I do believe there's people that come back to the planet to help us, like Christ. I can't say for sure if Christ ever existed because I don't think I was there. But if I remembered it in my awareness, then I would know for sure. You know, but I do believe that people like Christ, maybe Buddha, some very high beings come back to the planet to help people grow. And I think that's the purpose of life, is to keep growing toward more love, more goodness in our life, more God in our life, or whatever you want to call that. I think that's the purpose of life. And so I think people come back to help us. So maybe those people got to that highest place and decided to come back to Earth and help us. That's kind of my philosophy.
My uncle passed away about 15 years ago, and my aunt said that I think about a week or so after they had buried him and had the service for him, that she could not find her favorite salt shaker, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she said that my uncle came to her one night and said, oh, yeah, by the way, in a dream, that salt shaker is in there on top of the fridge. It had fallen behind the refrigerator, and she went in there, and by gosh, she said it was there.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? You know, it gives people so much hope to realize that people are still alive.
Yeah.
You know, I just think that's a beautiful story. Your aunt was just, oh, she must have just cried when she found that and been so happy to know that he's not dead.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, he's there somewhere.
it may have freaked her out a little more than she let on. I don't know. But So why would they come to you and not necessarily me? Because I don't think I've ever had an experience like this personally before.
You know, that's a really good question. I don't know if it's because I've been around death my whole life, or if it's because I also have this... I've had these kind of cognitive experiences in the past where something will just come to me like almost in a vision, but it's not with the physical eyes. It's as if seeing it with your eyes, but it's not. It's inside your mind. But when you see that, you know it to be true. And I've had a lot of experiences like that. For example, when I was young, my friend, and I don't know how old I was, maybe 10 or 12 or something, I'd have my friends come over, you know, and they would tell me all their problems. And I would literally, after they talked for a while, I would see in my mind what was going on. And I'd tell them, and they go running home, and their problem was solved. And that happens to me a lot. And so maybe they come to me, maybe they come to everybody, but other people just can't see it, or they're not aware of it, or they don't believe it or something. But with me, I know it for sure because I can see it in my inner mind's eye. And so there's no denying it. But I don't know. I don't know why they don't come to you. Maybe they will after the show.
Well, maybe they will. And I never dream. I guess I do dream. They say we all dream, but I don't remember many dreams. So I think that means I'm not sleeping real well. So I don't know. You ever get messages from somebody that you don't know or never heard of? It's just all of a sudden in a dream there's a soul of someone?
No, every person that I have gotten messages from, and these are messages about life, what's important in life. These are the messages I've gotten from them. For me, it's been people that I know. Maybe people did come to me, and I took it as some kind of illusory thing because I didn't know them. I'm not sure, but I would say that all of my experiences come from people that I know. And that's why I recognize them so clearly. So far, nobody's come to me that I haven't known. And if they did, if I didn't know them and they gave me a message, I would be very clear on that because these messages come through really clearly, like a cognition, just like I was telling you about. So that's, for me, how it goes, is people that I know.
So what was it like growing up with your father being an undertaker here in the Midwest?
Well, you know, it was so natural to me because that's all I knew.
Yeah.
You know, I was in the funeral home every day, and it just seemed like everyday life to me because it was. And my father was so good at what he did. He was such a deeply compassionate man that he had a really good reputation. And so I didn't have any reason to think it was weird or anything. Probably people made jokes behind my back and I didn't know it, but they seemed to be cool with it, you know, and all my friends would come over and meet at the funeral home to get a ride home. And, you know, some were kind of squirmish and I talk about my book, but most of them were good. It was just natural to me. And maybe that's what gave me such an open mind about life and death. I'm not sure how I got that, but probably had something to do with it.
Do you think there's anything to be said for mediums or those out there who can maybe communicate or claim they can communicate with the dead?
Well, I'm sure there are some people that can do that. I'm sure there's also people that think they can, or you'd have to be a pretty pure channel, a real clear, pure channel in order to really have the truth of that. And I think if somebody uses a medium and finds their parent, they kind of know whether that was what their father would say or not. You know, mm-hmm. So I think if people do that, they will know pretty clearly if that person was really tapped in. Because I used an animal communicator when my dog died, and because I really had a question whether I should put my dog down. I was having a very difficult time with it. And I thought, okay, I'm going to call her. I heard about her. And I thought, if I believe that she's really talking to Casey, then I'll believe this. But I knew I'd know if she was talking to Casey or not.
Yeah.
Well, when I first talked to her, she started saying things from Casey that only Casey and I would know. And it would be what Casey would say, actually. So I knew we were tuned into Casey, so I listened to her. But if I hadn't, if I thought, that's not my dog, that is not my dog, then I wouldn't have listened to her. And I think that's the way to handle something like that. You know, you'll know if they're talking to your parent or not, or your loved one.
How old were you when you had your first communication experience?
Oh, boy, let's see. Let me think about that. I think I was in my early 20s. I think it was early 20s.
Did it scare you?
No, it was just as natural as anything. And it doesn't scare you. It's not scary because it's that person, and they're with you. And it's like, oh, my God, you're dead, but you're here. And it's like exhilarating. It's the most beautiful, awesome, truly awesome experience that you can have, I think, because that body is gone, and they've come to you, and it is just sublime and wonderful and inspiring. Inspiring, and it just makes you cry because you're so happy to see that, to be with that person again. So it's the opposite. For me, it was the opposite of being scary.
Well, Margo, this is an intriguing topic. I've got just a couple minutes left, but I wanted to give you a chance to tell us about the book. It's called Light in the Morning. That's MOURNING. Memoirs of an Undertaker's Daughter. What can we expect in this?
Okay, thank you for letting me talk about it.
Sure.
Just life through the loss of many loved ones close to me has really crushed me open and left behind very clear messages from these people who have died. And the messages that they have left me are messages about how to live. So even though it's a book about death, it's really a book about life and how to live life to the fullest. And those lessons really changed. Every single one of them were different, and every one of them changed how I live my life. So they can buy the book on Amazon, Light in the Morning, Memoirs of an Undertaker's Daughter. There's two lights in the morning, so get the memoirs.
Okay.
And I hope that people, by going through my journeys of death, will really gain some insight and peace in their heart about death through those experiences. That's been my goal, and that's what people have told me, is they have gotten so much out of it, and it's changed their perspective and given them a peace and a strength that they didn't have before.
One more question. So when you're communicating with them, or they're communicating with you, have you ever found yourself where you could consciously or unconsciously ask them a question? Like, what's
yes.
it like? What's it like, you know?
Yes, I have done that. I haven't asked what it's like, where are you? I have asked, where are you? And with my brother, and when am I going to see you again? And then I got this really incredible message from him that I actually wasn't wanting to hear. I wanted to hear that you'll see me again in 10 years or tomorrow, or I'll come back to you over and over while you're alive. You know, I wanted to hear things like that, but instead I got a message about life from him. You know, and
right.
So I don't know if you want to hear the message, or if we have time, or if we're out of time, but...
If you could do it, yeah, briefly, here,
yeah,
sure.
The message was, it's not about that. It's not about whether you're going to be with me again or not. It's about what you do in all of your moments. It's about how you are in your moments. And oh my God, I had to really think about that. And but what it did is it put me in the moment. Instead of yearning to be with my brother, I just fully enjoy every single moment I have with people, knowing that they could be gone any moment. And so it put me in the moment with people in a way that I have never been before. And so that's how these lessons, when they come to you, really change you. They're very real, and they really change how you live. And so that was a blessing that I didn't know I needed or wanted.
Well, Margo, I appreciate your time this morning. Good stuff, and maybe we'll catch you down the road another time.
Oh, I would love that. Thank you so much. It's been wonderful talking to you. Thanks for having me on your show.
All right. Thank you very much. We appreciate that. Margo Lindmark there. The book is Light in the Morning, Memoirs of an Undertaker's Daughter. We'll come back with more Party Line next on WILO.